Hi, this is David Flower, Senior Pastor at Grantham Church, an intergenerational convergent third way congregation with the Brethren in Christ U.S. and located in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. I want to thank you for listening to our podcast and for following the sermons that I and many others preach at Grantham. This is a free podcast and it'll always be that way, but if you'd like to give and help further the work we're doing for the kingdom, we'd greatly appreciate it. If you want to do that, you can do that by going to granthamchurch.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Whether you're a member of our church or you're listening as a podritioner, it's our greatest desire that you would encounter Jesus and be changed by the good news wherever you are. Anyway, God bless you, and I hope you enjoy the podcast.
Thank you again, worship team. It is good to be with you again. I always enjoy getting to come join you at Grantham for the morning. Some of you are very familiar with the Brethren in Christ Church and our structures and the different titles and roles, but it struck us a few years ago that though we are very familiar with this title, bishop, in our family circles, not everyone has the same picture in their head of what a bishop is. It was a few years back when our family, with two teenagers, went to the Smithsonian Museum, and if you have ever seen the display there of the bishop's pointy decorated hat, and we realized they were laughing about this, and we were talking about the fact that many people, when they think of a bishop, have an old man with a pointy hat in their head, and though in our circles, clearly that is not the case, but rather this is a role. We say in our Brethren in Christ churches that the bishop is kind of like a pastor to the pastors and the congregations all throughout our region. And so that's what I get to do on occasion. And so I often get to visit or preach in the different churches. Some of you know that I was here in the spring to help initiate Pastor David's sabbatical, to celebrate that with you, and again today to welcome him back in. And sometimes it's working with boards, doing different things as well. But I find that sometimes people think when I show up just occasionally, they're like, do you ever actually work? Because it's only here and there that we get to connect. And I am looking at your two pastors because I know enough pastors to know that they get asked this question too, because lots of people in your congregational family see them mainly on Sundays, right? And they see you preaching. And I know my husband and I have been asked so many times, he also is a pastor, do you only work on Sundays? And many people cannot get their heads around that. No, there is actually a lot of work that happens through the week in caring for people and counseling people. And this is part of why it's important that as I get to work with the pastors in our churches across the conference, one of the things that we ask regularly is, what are you doing to make sure that your own soul is cared for in the midst of all of this that we do? And I also like to ask our pastors occasionally, so what hobbies have you been enjoying recently? I hope that you got to enjoy some of your favorite hobbies. I know you did this summer while you were on sabbatical, Pastor David. And I hope that all of you, regardless of what role or vocation you hold, whether you are in your 80s or whether you are in your teens, hope you have some hobbies too that help you care for your soul. One of the things that I most appreciate when preaching is I really would invite you to kind of be out loud and participating in this sermon space. So let me first share a few of my favorite hobbies with you, and then I'm going to ask you to actually tell me what your favorite hobby is, okay, in just a moment. I'll give you a minute to think about it. When I am not doing this job, this ministry that we get to do, I love to make time for cooking and reading. Some of you, I have friends in here who love to auction, visit auction houses. That's one of my favorite hobbies and pastimes. Traveling, gardening. I brought the little decoration here with me this morning. That's one of my favorite things to do. How about you? What are some of your favorites? Let's hear them. Say it louder. Reading, knitting. What? Say it again. Thank you. Birding. I just realized that this is being used as a verb. I didn't know that before, but I admire this. Wonderful. Any other, let's see, any other gardeners in the room. Anyone that enjoys this as a pastime? Oh, good. I have some company today. Any farmers in the room, or that was your profession long term? A few. Okay, very good. One of the reasons why I love gardening, I believe, is because I just love to watch things grow and people grow as well. Do we have any teachers with us today? Oh, wonderful. Quite a few. How many? Any counselors or therapists with us? Oh, excellent. I am guessing that possibly you also enjoy watching people grow or things grow. One of the other things I love about gardening is that when you are a gardener, you have things handy at your disposal that you can also use as gifts to bless. I got to give it to one of the young people in the front row. Thank you so much. Here you go, for you. Yes. Isn't it fun to also be able to bless other people? And I have a working hypothesis that I would love for you to test out with me if you would, because not only is it wonderful to watch things grow in front of your eyes and to be able to give them away, but my hypothesis is that if you give something away that you have grown or that someone else has grown, 9 times out of 10 at least, I think you're gonna get a smile. Just like these two, we're 2 for 2 today, so we are off to a good start. Some of the few reasons that I enjoy this hobby, this pastime of gardening. But with every hobby, there are also the not so enjoyable things. Do you wanna guess what I don't like so much about gardening? Ah, very good. That was one loud unison answer. Weeding. That's always the first one people guess. And I don't care. Who does really like weeding? Right? I just think of it as playing in the dirt, and it makes it much more bearable. But there is something else that I dislike more than weeding. Do you want to guess? That's always the second guess. This is so predictable. It's amazing. The pests, the snakes, the rodents. Yeah, I'm not fond of those, but I'm kind of a farm girl at heart, so it's okay. The thing I really, really don't enjoy is this idea of pruning plants. Do we have any rose gardeners with us today? Ah, I need to come learn from you. Because this idea of pruning just makes me a bit nervous every time. It makes me think that these living plants, even though I know pruning is good for them, you think, it has to hurt them a little bit. Will it actually grow back? There's something vulnerable, I think, about this idea of pruning. And we're not going to use professional words for these ideas of pruning today, but we are going to talk about two different kinds of pruning that gardeners do. We're going to refer to these as snips, okay? Snips are when you take your little shears and you walk by. My rose gardener over here will be able to relate to this. And anytime you see a diseased or dying branch, you have to snip it off. Why? What happens if you don't? It will kill the whole plant eventually. That disease will spread, and eventually it will cause the demise of the rest of the plant. The other kind of pruning we will talk about today is what some call shearing. This is where you actually cut off a lot of the plant, or most of the plant. Most often this shearing pruning is done going into the dormant season or during a dormant season so that the new, healthier growth comes back in the spring. Well, I know that there are very good reasons to prune a plant. I always think to myself, do we really need to do this? Is it really going to work out well? But like every good rose gardener or other gardener, I realize that this is a necessity in good gardening. I also acknowledge that this is God's idea, both for the flourishing of my plants and for the flourishing of people. So today, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to John 15, if you have the Bible with you or a device with you that you read on. And I'm actually going to do the clicking for us today, so I'll read it off the screen as we go. You will hear Jesus, who's talking to his disciples, talk about pruning at the beginning of this passage. But through these 17 verses that we read, you will hear Jesus reference three other concepts over and over and over again through the 17 verses. As we read, I'm going to ask you to try to identify what are his three main points. What are those three concepts that you hear over and over again? Father, I just pray that as we come to your word this morning, you would open our hearts, open our minds to whatever it is you want to say to us today, both as individuals and collectively as a congregation. We just give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. There we go. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. All right. Three main words or ideas. What were they? Any one of them? Remain. Good. Remain or abide. If you were in another version, it may have said abide. That's one of them. What else? Louder. Bear fruit, yes. So remain, bear fruit, and the last one? Love. Excellent. Remain, bear fruit, and love. And in just a little bit, we will dive down into these three principles. But first, I want to take a look at how Jesus begins here. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Flourishing often requires pruning. But I think it's even more foundational that we first look at his very first statement. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. This Father who does the pruning. What do we know about God from the rest of Scripture? We know that he is the creator. He spoke all of this into being, all of this wonderful beauty that we see growing around us, both things and people. And he is loving towards all his creation. If you remember back with me to Genesis 1 and 2, he would create and he'd fill it and he would say over and over again, "It is good. It is good. It is very good." When did he say it was very good? Only when he created you and me, men and women. And so while he is fond of all his creation, He is particularly fond of us. And he has grown to great lengths to attend to our flourishing. We see this all again through the Old Testament into the New Testament, as he called the people by name, as he created spaces for them to flourish with him and in him. He gave them the law. He gave them land. He gave them victory after victory. He is all-knowing. He is always keeping his promises, every promise, and he is faithful even when we are unfaithful. We see over and over and over again. This is God, our good gardener. And these aspects of our Father Gardener are important for us to keep in mind as we continue with the rest of this passage, particularly as we think about this idea of pruning. Let's go back to those two kinds of pruning that we talked about earlier. Snips, cutting off those diseased or dying parts, or shearing, cutting way back for the dormant season to develop new healthy growth. Both are useful for different purposes. And God uses both kinds of pruning in our lives to keep us flourishing and healthy. For example, snipping away at things. Remember, like I walk by some of my plants and see part of it starting to die and go, oh, I need to deal with that. Otherwise, it'll kill the whole plant. God does the same thing in our lives. As we, as disciples, as followers of Jesus, are trying to learn to live like him more and more, he will occasionally or regularly say to us, that thing right there, that has to go. Otherwise, it will kill you and it will destroy the relationships around you. Maybe these are things like technology. That is something that has changed so much in the last 15 years, and we hear disciples of Jesus talking about this regularly, reevaluating maybe their use of social media, acknowledging the changes in pornography and how accessible it is, not even just how accessible, but how pervasive it is for our children to deal with. Maybe it is the area of online gambling. So easy and accessible anymore. You don't have to go finding it. It almost finds you. And so for many of us who are walking with Jesus, it's not uncommon for him to say, we gotta snip, snip, snip that part. It doesn't belong there. It is not good for you, and it's not good for people around you. I know numbers of people who recently have either intentionally stepped away from social media for a time or limited their use or got rid of it altogether on their devices because they realized it was not benefiting them and it was not healthy for their other relationships. Maybe it's in the area of finance. Some of us tend to be overspenders, and some of us naturally tend to be oversavers. Is that a thing? I think actually that we can live with a scarcity mindset that is also something that God says, we need to snip at that and address that thing. Otherwise, you become greedy and self-centered, or you give it all away, and you don't have anything left to bless other people with and do kingdom work that I want to do through you. Maybe it is with our attitudes. Bitterness, unforgiveness, pride, that we sense the Spirit saying, snip, it's time to snip that. That's something we have to address. Otherwise, it will kill you and it will destroy your other relationships. Let's get rid of that. Give it up. There are other times when God allows that shearing, pruning in our lives. And while snips often have to do with sin, shearing typically has to do with loss in our lives. Because if you remember, like the plant, this is times when a lot of the plant is cut off for that dormant season. It goes into that dark season so that something good can happen in that space of extended time. Sometimes loss is like that in our lives. Maybe it is the loss of a loved one, and we enter into a long period of grief and darkness. Maybe it is the loss of a job, the loss of a physical capability, maybe the loss of a dream we held. All of these have the potential to send us into one of those prolonged spaces of isolation and darkness and grief that I believe are one of the ways that God prunes us and works in us in these spaces. However, as with many of the principles throughout Scripture, the outcome of the pruning of these lessons is dependent on two things. It is dependent on God's work, clearly, but it's also dependent on our response during those times, or when he is reminding us, yep, snip that. We find ourselves in these seasons of prolonged pruning. It's helpful to consider our natural response versus God's invitational productive response. In these times of prolonged darkness and grief, our natural intellectual response is often, why, God? Why did you allow this? Whatever would this be for? Instead, God invites us to ask, what will come of this pruning? In a way that trusts him, just like I do with my plants, that the spring is coming, and that he wants to do something in this dark space that will have greater reward when the spring comes. What do you want me to learn here, God? What do you want me to do, or what do you want to do with this? There is also a natural relational response to this kind of shearing, pruning in our own lives. Typically, when we experience loss like this, our natural desire is what? To move away from other people, to isolate. Instead, God invites us to remain in him. Abide in me. And later he invites us to remember to love each other, to stay in relationship with each other, even in these seasons of darkness where our natural move would be to move away. Even as Jesus introduces this idea of pruning, he keeps repeating these phrases, remain in me and go and bear fruit. I believe this is important for us to embrace if we want to benefit from pruning and experience flourishing with him. In fact, this repeated remain in me, go and bear fruit has a sense of if and then in this passage. Remaining in Christ with him, even maybe especially in these times of pain or discomfort or suffering of some kind, there's this promise, if you remain, there will be fruit. This repetition also implies that Jesus not only invites us to experience both the remaining and the bearing fruit, but he also expects both for us. Throughout the passage, we see this collaborative expectation, remain in me, go and bear fruit. Remain in me, go and bear fruit. In fact, Jesus wants both of these to be such an integrated part of our lives, it becomes as common to us as breathing. So I'm going to invite you to do this with me together. I want you to breathe in, and when we breathe in, we're going to think to ourselves, remain in me. And as we breathe out, we're going to think to ourselves, go and bear fruit. A few times through. Are you ready? Here we go. Breathe in. Remain in me. Breathe out. Go and bear fruit. Again, remain in me. Out. Go and bear fruit. Once more, remain in me, out, go and bear fruit. This is how we thrive. This is how we flourish. When this rhythm becomes as natural to us as breathing. But it begs the question, how do we remain? What does that mean? In this cultural age in which we live, many people consider the church and attending church synonymous with faith. Oh, you say you're a Christian? You must go to church. Oh, you go to church? You must love Jesus. But those of us who are followers of Jesus, who are disciples of Jesus, who are desiring to be transformed more into his likeness, know that that is simply not enough. It is good that we gather, and it is a vital part of our faith, but this is not enough for abiding, is it? It's not enough for this remaining that comes natural as breathing. Two other things he mentions in this passage that are part of this as well. Clearly, one is being in his word, In verse 3, Jesus says, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." Other places in the New Testament, he talks about the cleansing of us through the word. We know Christ initially because he has told us that in his word, but we also learn to live like him when we spend time in his word and studying it together. Also through prayer. We know that this is one of the things that's kind of expected when you're a believer, but are we really spending time remaining with him in prayer? In verse 7 and 16, it references, if you pray in my name, if you ask it in my name, it will be done for you. And these verses have been used way out of context many times, have they not? If you ask in my name, it will be done for you. And many of us have wondered, how is that? Because I know I ask many things of the Lord and they don't happen, they don't come to fruition. It's helpful for us to know that this phrase, if you ask it in my name, anama, carries with it the connotation that we are asking in accordance with the character of that person, consistent with the will and actions of the person in whose name we ask. This means that if I am praying for something and I am asking in the name of Jesus, I have spent enough time abiding with him in his word and in prayer, listening for the Spirit, so that I have a growing sense of confidence that what I ask is in alignment with his will. And if it is not, he will cause me to pause and he will cause me to wait until his will is clear. So based on what we see here, we have this expectation of the if and then. Remain in me, go and bear fruit. Remain in me, go and bear fruit. But this third phrase, love, third word, If we consider remaining in him and going and bearing fruit, the breathing of our discipleship walk, then love is like the heartbeat of walking with Jesus. Love, 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 love. The word love is used 9 times in these last few verses. And what do we learn about love here very quickly? Verse 12 and 13, love is active, it is other-centered, it is sacrificial. It is more action than it is emotion in our discipleship process. In verse 15, love is personal. It is not distant, it's relational, it's not hierarchical. In verse 16, love is Jesus-like. It is purposed by Jesus, it is modeled by Jesus, and it is produced in us through Jesus. If you remember back when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest command we need to know as your disciples? What did he say? Oh, and I can't forget to keep clicking. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And what? Love your neighbor as yourself. As we remain in him and are bearing fruit and loving well, there should be 2 kinds of fruit produced. One, we should see health in those of us who are following Jesus. Internal fruit, you might think about it. The last few weeks, I understand you have been studying the fruit of the Spirit here together on Sunday mornings. This is the kind of fruit internally that Jesus is talking about. In verse 8, where he says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is the kind of internal change and transformation he's talking about. Oh, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? It is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us abide. Let us remain with him. Let us walk with him so closely that these fruits are more and more evidenced in our lives. And as that happens, there is also the fruit of harvest. External fruit. Before we get to this verse, in verse 16 of this John 15 passage, what does Jesus say? He says, I chose you I appointed you to go and bear fruit. He's talking here about external fruit, this idea of harvest. What he talked to the disciples about in Matthew 28, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. These principles of remaining in Christ and bearing fruit in love are core characteristics of who we are as a Brethren in Christ church family. I hope that those of you who have been attending Grantham for some time, maybe if you're brand new, you wouldn't have caught this yet, but if you have been here for a while, I hope you realize that what we talk about on Sunday mornings is not just platitudes, it's not just something we preach about, but it's actually something we are passionate about living out. So when we talk about remaining in Christ and bearing fruit, this healthy fruit internally, and this making disciples, this harvest kind of fruit, both of those are not only expected by Jesus, but they're expected by us if we are being disciples of Jesus and following him as he wants us to. In fact, in the Brethren in Christ Church, we have what we call our 10 core values. They are 10 things that most define us. And two of these have to do directly with this passage. Our core value number 4 is about following Jesus. We as a people believe that we value wholehearted obedience to Christ Jesus through the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit. That when Jesus says, follow me, and he gives us his Spirit, that he actually starts transforming and changing us and gives us power to live in a way that's different and that is more like him than we used to be. Our core value number 6 is about witnessing to the world. How do we share our faith? We say we value an active and loving witness for Christ to all people. We want to be people who breathe like Jesus because we remain in him and we are bearing fruit in him. And that constantly his heartbeat of love is what others see through us. It's so exciting to me to hear how our different congregations are doing this. I love that at Grantham, you have been having, I have to look because I have to get it right, these Together on the Journey gatherings about how God is using your time at work or wherever you're involved with during the week to make an impact on the people around you. I love that you are evaluating, where am I at in my discipleship walk with these recent surveys that some of you have participated in? This willingness to come together and say, I'm trying to remain with Christ. Am I actually experiencing his transformation? When I interact with you, do I seem a little more loving than I was a year ago? Am I actually more patient than I was maybe a month or two ago? Oh, that's good fruit. You must be abiding. These things are more than just words. They are our heartbeat and they are our breath. This is flourishing. It's also fun to get to share. Do we have time? A few more minutes. I'm going to share quickly what is happening in some of our other congregations across the conference. Fairview Church, right down the street, New Cumberland, Pennsylvania, is an older congregation. About 2 or 3 years ago, they had about 15 people in their congregation. And other churches, the conference came around them and said, we're going to do an intentional revitalization here and start praying, start asking where God wants you to connect with your community. And they started working with their school. There was a connection with their PTO. And the school says, can you help our kids? And they, gladly, we will. And so that was the beginning. And as they worked with them, they realized that there were many children in their community with special needs that didn't have places to go and just be with people who would love on them. And so this little church in Fairview said, we have this building. We're not using it all the time. In fact, our basement we almost never use. And so they have transformed their basement into a sensory play area. And now regularly families with special needs kids gather to play, and they have a nice little area. They serve coffee for parents, and they talk to them and encourage them, ask how they can pray for them. And in this way, they are bearing fruit. They are living out this fruit of Jesus. Cedar Heights, way up north. It's one of our northernmost places, right north of State College. Again, a smaller church, about 100 people at this church. And they have had a connection with the local law enforcement of the area. In fact, the pastor there, Scott Garman, is the chaplain for their local police station. And through this connection, they know that he is a man of peace. But through this relational connection and this love and this remaining in Christ and looking for ways to show that, they will now call Pastor Scott and call the church anytime they have a family going through a crisis, a family in grief, because they know that they will walk with them and they will love on them well. Friends, this is the kind of reputation we want, that we are an active and loving witness of Christ to all people. But every time we look at the word, it's important that we first ask ourselves, Lord, what is it you want to teach me today? What is it you want me to take away? Is there anything you want to change in me from this time spent together? I'm quite certain that there may be a few of you here who this idea of being in the vine, even, of abiding with Jesus or being called Jesus's friend is a foreign concept. If that's you today, I would just invite you to keep asking questions. Consider that this possibly may be true, that Jesus wants to call you his friend, and that he has a better life for you than you are maybe presently experiencing. And ask people that you came with, or ask one of the pastors. They would love to talk to you about that. If you are going through maybe a time of pruning today, maybe it's something that you feel like God has been working on you to give up or to cut out. Snip that out of your life before it destroys you or someone else. I ask that you would share that with someone soon, because it's much easier to do those things and walk that road with someone else on our team or in our corner. Maybe you are experiencing that shearing pruning, and you would say you're in one of these prolonged spaces of loss or grief or darkness. Again, I'd encourage you to invite someone else to pray for you, to walk with you, just to be present in that time. I think that's why Jesus ends this passage with love, love, love. He has created us from the beginning for community, and that's how we most experience this transformation. And maybe some of you here today would say, hey, I feel like I'm healthy and thriving now. Then I would just encourage you, as you go this week, to consider praying that breath prayer over and over. Remain in me, go and bear fruit. Remain in me, go and bear fruit. And as I do that, I naturally ask myself the question, how am I investing time with Jesus so that his breathing becomes my breathing and that my heartbeat becomes more like his heartbeat? I ask myself more regularly, how did I demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit today? Were there places that I had an opportunity and just missed it? Where can I love on someone better this week? Who is God bringing into my path that I can love on in a way that will draw them closer to Jesus and an understanding of what it means to be called his friend? This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. It is my prayer that this Grantham congregation becomes more and more a people who have the reputation of loving others well and living like Jesus as we go.